Praise the Lord. I will remind the praise and worship team that you are to lead people into praise and worship, not accomplish songs. I've said that till I'm blue in the face. I'm going to say it again, I suppose. If a song is giving you trouble, pitch it out. Don't ruin the songs around it because you've decided to accomplish so many songs. Let's be adult enough to make some decisions that help other people, not make us feel good. I've said before, I'd rather have you do one song that you do well than five, and four of them are good. I'm not getting after anybody. I'm reminding you, I was watching Emerald Live yesterday before you guys showed up at the party. And he burned something. Can you believe that? On a cooking show, he burned something. He'd done all the preparations. He had brought them all in. He had got his recipe. He practiced with his people. And because he got caught up in something else, he burned one of the dishes. Guess what? He didn't serve that dish. He said, sorry, I burned it. I'm not going to serve it. Let's move on. That's called maturity. Stuff happens sometimes. You just don't let anything drag you down. That's the point. If you're going to hold God's people, if you're going to hold them, then do for them what's best. Amen? All righty. Let's pray. Father, we said that and we've received it from you today with thanksgiving because we know it isn't about us individually, it's about you. It's about lifting our eyes towards you and our lives towards you. We give you this time this morning. We give you our ears, our heart, and our lives. Change us with what you say here this morning. And we thank you in advance that it's done and thank you that you did it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, it's been a while since I've done this. You think I can still do it? Praise the Lord. Well, with that in mind, I brought you a formula this morning on how to be super wise or super dumb, your choice. You know, amazing, God, Jesus Himself said, I give you this day the choice, life or death, blessings or curses, which means smart or dumb. And so I'm just going to reflect what Jesus said. I'm going to give you your choice of being smart or dumb this morning. I hope you choose smart. That's what God says. Now, we've been talking about righteousness. And so I think I'm going to give you the beginning message of righteousness this morning. The number one message. The simple one. Something I think God laid on my heart. There's some simplicity of things that God has laid on my heart in the last few weeks. And so this it goes back to the basics, back to righteousness. Don't forget I said that, in case we get sidetracked. Amen? All right. There's some questions I'm going to ask you this morning, or you need to ask yourself. Why was Jesus always correct or always right? See, I'm glad this church is mature enough to understand it wasn't because He was Jesus. It was because He did and said what the Father told Him. Now, how do you accomplish that? How do you accomplish doing everything you're told to do? Being in the presence of God will bring you information. How do you do it? Obedience. You know, I think we stumble, or not stumble, sometimes we just don't even get the most simple things of life. One of them is, and I'll probably enter into this maybe next Sunday. I was praying about healing when I needed it. And God said, I've got to heal your mind before I can heal anything else. Now, that's for a future message. I'll work on that one a little more. But it applies right here, right now. See, the decision to be wise comes from the decision to be wise. Our being wise comes from the decision to be wise. It comes, being dumb comes from decision to be dumb. Well, nobody in here would choose to be dumb. Would you like for me to call some names? There are some things that people right here, you guys, are doing in your lives that's the dumbest things in the world. They wouldn't stand up to anybody's criticism, much less God's. Everybody has them in their lives. That's what God is dealing with us about. It's like saying, I want to get more physically fit, but I don't want to exercise. Well, I got some news for you. You're not going to have one without the other. You can pray until your knees are, you don't have them anymore. You've worn the bone legs all the way off to the thighs. You will never get physically fit without some exercise. Everybody says, because we know that now, right? We might have forgotten it for a minute, but we know it again, fresh and new right now. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm looking forward to when I have $1 million, and I can buy my kids things, and I can buy my friends things, but I really don't want to work. Well, you're stupid. Well, let's just call it like it is. You're dumber than a post. Because my Bible says that God says, a man that don't work, don't eat. I shared with you before, I fully intend to help people starve to death that don't want to eat. I mean, don't want to work. You come around me and you don't want to work, I will watch you starve to death because I'd rather obey God than be friends with you. And everybody says? Amen. See how good that is? That's God's wisdom. And anything you do outside of the law of God is stupidity. Choose you this day, wise or dumb. Now, everybody in here wants to be wise. I know that. Let's go back. How did Jesus, why was everything He spoke and did wise? It wasn't because He was inherently God. No, He was not inherently God. He taught us that. He said, I'm a man like you and I. And you know what else He said? And this is not insulting to Jesus at all. In His word, He said, not quite as good looking, not quite as charismatic, and not quite as smart as you guys. That's what He taught. I have nothing to offer. Y'all remember reading that in your Bible? Comely, homely man. And yet He moved the earth. Takes away all of our excuses, doesn't it? Why is it that everything He did and He spoke was helpful and directive and righteous? Because He didn't speak what He thought. Did you hear what I said? Because He didn't speak what He thought. Karen called me yesterday, so I'll use her as a bad example. She called up and she said, I don't think we're going to be there because I think Bob's got it. And I said, got what? I heard reverse go into gear. As it should have. That's what we are to do, is to admonish one another. I didn't say anymore. I already heard reverse. What do I need to say anymore? He ain't got nothing that God didn't give him. See, if we're going to get it in reverse, let's get it in big reverse. Let's eat our own words before somebody else makes us eat them. What He said, what He spoke, helped people, directed people, caused them to think. Well, it's because he graduated the highest theological seminary there was. Wrong. He didn't go. You know how much record we have of Jesus being highly educated? That's it. And if that was his education, he was dumb. You hear what I'm saying? He walked into teachers and he challenged them. He didn't get taught by them. He kind of got beat up by. He beat them up. Why? Because he made a determination that what the Father has told me is correct. I'm coming down to the basics now, guys. If you want to speak wise, you make a decision that there's only one wisdom and it's not in you. You have to reach for an outside source. And don't buy a book. There's not 1 ounce of wisdom in a book. No more than Jesus. The Bible is the Word. There's no book that's the Word. When somebody asked Jesus a question, he didn't say, just a second, I'm going to go back to the 1911 original King James Version and check it out. He said, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. He said, you can judge me on that basis, and if you can't understand that one, you can judge me on my works. Y'all can say that, I'm sure. Can we be more like Him? Can I be more holy? Can I be more righteous? Can I be more helpful to others? And how about you? How do I do that? Well, number one, I make a decision not to be dumb. If I, at the end of the day, judge myself to have done a lot of dumb things, I make sure I don't do it again tomorrow. And I look back and I try to find out what caused me to be dumb this day so that I don't repeat it tomorrow. Anybody in here ever been dumb? Come on. All right, now you're being smart. We've all done some dumb things. This may not be exactly the normal teaching, but unless I learn something is wrong, I can't improve on it. Maybe Jesus was so wise. Maybe He was so holy and so powerful and correct and helpful. Because He really wasn't a great thinker or a great theologian. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. He wasn't a great thinker and He wasn't a great theologian. He depended upon a great thinker and a great theologian. He was really smart, though, because he just learned to say yes. Couldn't say no. Didn't hesitate. Didn't resist. Didn't argue with the Father. That's why he was brilliant. You want to be smart, you hang around smart. You want to be dumb, you hang around you. Why are you talking like this? Because, you know, I've had some time to sit and think. I had a phone call this last week that I guess you straightened me out. What all the things we're doing wrong and all that kind of stuff. And it came to my attention right about that time about all the people that have come and they've gone. And I've never yet once heard any of these people. And you've met them all. You know who I'm talking about. If you're thinking about some, I'm thinking about some others. Never once did I ever have one of them come to say, you know what? I'm so dumb that I've got to get out of here to let y'all be smart. Never once ever heard one of them come to say, I'm holding you guys back. I just need to get out of your way. Never once ever heard somebody that left this body say, it's all my fault. Anytime somebody looks at you and says, you see, I just can't be ministered to in this body, you're talking to a dumb person. They've already passed a little ignorant. And they've gone strictly to the dumb valley. Hopefully this tape will get into the right hands. So my position is well known. That's what God has told me about this. That's what I told that person. It needs to be told around the world. I'm going to tell you what I told that person. God has shown me a couple of things in the last couple of months. And I'm going to tell you whether you're here or you're not here. You have the privilege of sitting under an anointed minister. God gives me great wisdom. And if you listen to him, God will give you great wisdom. And if you call me at fault, you're going to go away blind and dumb. Now, how can you say that, Stan? Because I have judged and considered my ways. That's why. When somebody says something to me, I don't just blow it off. I take it into prayerful consideration. I want to make sure that I am not screwed up here. I've got every accusation saying that. I should consider it, should I not? I should consider that until a higher source tells me otherwise. Here's something dumb. I've just been in great pain for over a year now. And I just can't. Y'all just don't minister to me. I think my Bible teaches that if you will seek ways to help somebody else, you'll get help. Instead, you wrap yourself up in your own pain blanket. It feels good. It causes other people to get in there with you. You hear what I said? Causes other people to get in there with you, and y'all can just have a pain party. I told this person, I will be your drill sergeant, but I won't be your sensei. I won't be. I was the sensei. I think is what they call it in another practice. I will not be your sensual partner. You know what a sensual partner is? You touch me here, and I'll touch you there, and we'll have a feel good party. Come on. If all you're looking for is somebody to pray for you, feel sorry for you, you're not looking for a solution from God. You're looking for a pity party. And you know what? The enemy is faithful, and he will send somebody away to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Jesus knew that there was only one right. It wasn't him. Are you hearing me? Jesus took away his ability to be right when he said publicly, I only say what the Father tells me to say. He took away his credentials of righteousness and gave them to the one that's righteous. There was only one that was holy. Jesus never claimed to be that one. There was never one, there was only one that was wise, and Jesus never claimed to be that wisdom. And by the way, he said, the things that I did, you'll do also. That means you won't claim to be wise, you won't claim to be holy, you won't claim to be righteous. You just claim to know the one that is. Why was Jesus always correct or right? Righteous and holy. John chapter 5, verse 30. He said publicly, John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. You know what? I've hung around some of you for a lot of years, and I've yet to hear from you, I can of myself do nothing. Maybe we need to practice that statement a little more. Pop our own little ego balloon. Start depending upon the one that can do all things. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. You want to be able to judge things? You're going to have to be able to hear from God, or you will never judge anything. How many of you are quick to judge other people? You didn't get that from God. If you're always busy telling people off because you're always right, you're dumb. That's not the way God does it. Why? How do you know that? It says right there, as I hear, I judge. It's not as my heart tells me. It's not because I'm full of such theology and such wisdom. It says, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Why? Because I heard the right one. Here's the reason why. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If your statements are about you, it isn't about God. That's what your Lord says. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father. If I'm looking for a place to minister to me, am I seeking the will of the Father? Absolutely no. If I'm seeking a place to minister for the Father, that's God. That's wisdom. It has nothing to do with how I feel. It has nothing to do with how pretty the place is. You know, you don't check out somebody's perfume before you decide to minister to them. Because most people need the most ministry when they're the stinkiest. Right? And if you really do seek God, He's going to put you in some of the cruddiest places. Why? Because people are cruddy? No, because there's some crud on some people out there that needs to be cleaned up. He wants some more people that are ready to minister to some more people. The only way He can do that is quit making people feel sorry for themselves. How many of you have been praying one morning or one night or in one of your pain times and have God say, pity yourself? You talk enough and you're going to find people that will answer you this way. Yes, God told me it's okay to take some time for myself. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. You know how long it takes God to touch you and heal you? Milliseconds. He don't need time to heal you, so you don't need a bunch of time to be healed. Yeah. A lot of wisdom coming out here this morning. I hope you all are hearing this. If you serve a slow God, it's all right to take slow time to be healed. Mind, body, physical, emotional, financially. Otherwise, get on with it. Go to the man that's got the quick answer. And because you know why? And by the way, you go to the man that's got the quick answer so you can get over it quick. How many of you know very many people that want to be healed just like that? I don't know too many. They want slow. They want things to move slowly. I got it, so I need a number of weeks to get over it. I've been hurt, so I need a number of months to recuperate. Now, what you're saying is that I don't want to talk to God right now. I want to sit here and wallow for a while. Do you ever notice that people that claim to need all the help, you can't ever figure out what their problem is? I told this person today, talking about all this healing, I said, I'm going to tell you what I've told you 20 times already. I've got the slightest idea what your pain is. Because if somebody asks you, you know why? Because they don't want over it. If you say, my pain is I got a rock in my shoe, a smart man's going to say, get the rock out of your shoe, dummy. How long does it take to get the rock out of your shoe? Well, see, that's not what the world wants. They first want you to take off the shoe. And then they want you to go buy them another pair of shoes. And then we've got to take some time for that stone bruise, that little bitty thing you call a stone bruise, has got to be healed. And then we've got to learn, you've got to help me learn to relearn to walk. Sounds like God to me. This person said, I know your resolution, just get over it. I said, that's because that's what God says. Get over it. Start ministering to somebody else and forget about your little old pain. Whatever that is, we can't put our finger on anyway. How many ever had a pain that you just couldn't even locate? That's one of my dad's favorite sayings. You give me a pain I can't locate. That means there's no reason and there's no source. How was it that Jesus was so wise without education? How did he help so many people when he didn't have enough degrees to do it? He really was homeschooled. He really was homeschooled. In John chapter 8, verse 28 through 32. John chapter 8, verse 28 through 32. Then Jesus said to him, now you know that this is not a politically correct message I'm talking right now. Because we can't do men's, I'm not going to say what I started to say, men's touchy-feely groups and women's touchy-feely groups. And we can't have two-year-long marriage seminars because the message that I'm preaching you today will not fit into any of those. Because what it does is it puts it right back on you saying, go to the Father and you'll have your answer. Very hard to get people to show up by the thousands to hear, go ask the Father and he'll give you an answer. Because they all want you to come up with the answer. The reason Jesus was so successful is he went to the source to get the answer. And he forgot that you had to go to theological seminary to be able to present it correctly. John 8, 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Now, I don't know if you understand what was just said, but you're not going to understand anything until you listen or you lift up the Son of Man. Isn't that what that first verse just said? You're not going to speak, you're not going to understand correctly until you lift up the Son of Man. Well, why? Because when you go to God, that's what God's going to tell you to do. And unless you do what He tells you to do, you'll never have any further understanding. Here's what the Son of Man tells you to say. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, comma, I speak these things. As my Father taught me, I speak these things. That just means a man with any wisdom at all tells other men, if you think I'm smart, you're wrong. I do nothing of myself. I'm just repeating something. I'm a delivery boy. Verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone with one teaching, with one classroom session. For I always do those things that please Him. So we find out what else the Father says. If you want to please me, you will do this and that. Do you know that's how God speaks? I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to tell you point blank. If God ever speaks to you, the thought process is, if you want to please me, you will do this. That's the way God will speak. Why? Because He is a gentleman and He's always going to give you the choice. Smart people please God. Dumb people please themselves. Verse 30. As He spoke these words, many believed Him. Why? Because there's just something about God. See, nowhere in here can you find out that Jesus was an eloquent speaker. Nowhere in the Bible does it call Jesus a good speaker. He had a tendency to make them mad more than glad. But many believed Him. Why is that? Because we've never heard anybody speak like He speaks. Why? Because he spoke whatever the Father told Him to speak. And the Father's ways are so high above our ways. Didn't say Jesus' ways were. It says the Father's way. Jesus said the Father's way is higher than our ways. Amen. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, now we're going to find out it's not enough to believe. Now, I just get ticked. All these Christians are running around saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe in healing. I believe in salvation. So does the devil. He believes in all of that. It's not enough to believe. Jesus said to those people that believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. So now we go one step further. It's not enough just to go to the Father. We got to abide in those words. That means you have to make a commitment that if you hear something from God, I'm going to live that. I don't care if everybody thinks I am nuts. That's abiding. That means when the wind's blowing, I'm going to be in the Word. When it's cold, I'm going to be in the Word. And when it's hot, I'm going to be in the Word because this is where I live. When you got a fever, you're going to be there. When you feel bad, you're going to be there. And when you feel good, you're going to abide there no matter what. Now, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, comma. And when, as being my disciples, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say you're free because you got saved or you got filled with the Holy Spirit. It says you'll abide in the word. The word will cause you to know the truth, and you obeying the truth will make you free. We're always looking for the shortcut. There's a formula. Let's just cut off all of that abide and hanging in there and doing. Let's just go straight to the free. Well, it wasn't that free. Why did Jesus have so much authority? Why did it turn out that everything he did was always right? He went to right. How can right tell you wrong? How can one with authority tell you to do something without authority? He didn't walk around saying, when I lay hands on you, you're going to recover. He said, I'll go to the Father, and I'll lay hands on you, and you'll recover. Just a small difference. No. It's a big difference. Difference of where it works all the time or not. John 12, verse 49 and 50. John 12, verse 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of my own authority. When's the last time the first thing you said was, I will not speak in my own authority? We're all so interested in causing other people to bow to our authority, we never want to tell them where our authority really comes from. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. So what's Jesus really doing? He's just obeying. What I should say and what I should speak. If we could really get it down in our heads, if Stan could really get it down in his head that he's not going to say anything unless the Father told him to say it, then Stan could understand that every time he said something, things would change. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Okay, I have another thing. It's just not just going to come to truth. It's not going to just happen because I say so. It's going to come to everlasting life. Because I heard the Father say it and I said it. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Last night I called Bob and I chickened out. And I repent for that. Hopefully I won't do that again. But I felt like God had told me, if you show up in this party, you're going to get healed. But I also understood that more than likely what Bob would hear was, you just want me to come to the party. And I wasn't smart enough to be able to answer that and say, yeah, stupid, that's right, I want you healed. You see, that's what I mean. We've got to be so persuaded that we heard from God that I'm going to think you're blooming idiot if you don't listen to what I'm saying. Shall I say that again? Maybe you can understand how I think sometimes. If I know God has spoken it to me, then I also know you're losing out if you don't listen. And I need to be more bold than that. What does that mean? That means shut up a whole lot more and then speak a lot louder when God tells me to speak. Why was Jesus always right, even when most of the time it went against reason? How many times, come on, think about it, when you heard and read about the things that Jesus spoke, where He spoke them, what He spoke, most of the time it was against reason. Yeah, go over there and jump in that river a few times, that old dirty, rotten river, and you'll be clean. The reason of man is enmity to God. He will use the foolish things of man to teach the wisdom of God. There's some godly wisdom. You want to hear one? If your house is always 80 or 85, you're always going to be sick. Because a hot house makes you sick in the wintertime, and a cold house will keep you healthy. Well, that's not reason. Try it and see. Don't judge by what I just said. Try it. Well, I want to be healthy, so that means I got to go beat my body up and exercise. Well, that's not reasonable. Yes, it is. Yeah. That's reasonable. You just don't want it to be reasonable. I'm going to be a lot healthier if I'm not so fat, so I'm going to eat less, and that'll make me healthier. I thought you're supposed to eat your way into health. I don't know. Look in the mirror. See if it's working. It got quiet, didn't it? Definition of insanity, I'll repeat it, is doing the same thing you've always done and expecting things to get better. Why was Jesus always right, even and most of the time when it went against reason? John chapter 14, verse 10 through 15. John chapter 14, verses 10 through 15. And I showed you that plaque last night. I'm going to paraphrase one of my favorite things that plaque says. It says there's people around the world sleeping well and eating well because a few rough, tough men are out doing what's right. The reason I'm going to repeat that, I'm going to repeat it as I've just done, is this. There ain't no soft man, no soft message. No sensual message ever help you in all the days of your life. It may make you tingle. It might even make you jump and shout. And when the tingling, jumping, shouts are over, you still have the same problem that you had the day before. The only thing that ever makes a problem go away is how tough you are. If you're not tougher than the problem, then you're a dumb loser. And if you've determined to be that loser, paint the L on your forehead so we can all recognize it and get out of the way and let some of us tough, tough men get out and go to work. As Jesus did. Jesus took the position as a very wealthy man with God the Father as his guide and information specialist and said, I don't have a place to sleep. I don't have a place to put my head down. Why? Because he made a choice to be the rough, tough man to do the will of the Father rather than take the comfortable, soft, sweet choice and have everybody pat him on the back as a good little minister. We've got a lot of big churches full of good little ministers. We've got a lot of little churches all over the place full of good little ministers. And if you'll go there, your goal in life is to vomit because there's nothing coming forth. Try it and see. Turn on the radio, turn on the TV, and look for some truth to see what you find. Everybody listens to Joyce Myers. I make Joyce Myers sound like a cream puff. John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? What if we walked up to each other and said that every once in a while? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father's in me? Now listen, if I preface something that I'm going to say to you, and I walk up and I say, do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? And you did what he just did, say yes. Do you know what your obligation to do for about the next thing that I'm going to say is? You have no choice but to do it. Come on, the answer is, you're right. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Two things. The Father is speaking, and it's not up to me to make it happen. Whew. Now I'm free in ministry, if I know that the Father has spoken. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, if you don't like, if you just refuse to believe what I tell you, then look at my history. Am I a flake that says one thing and does another? Do I live what I speak? Do I act like the Father not just spoke it to you, but spoke it to me also? One of the fallacies of ministry is that preachers think they can come out here and speak to you and they don't have to obey it. I need to make sure that before I am willing to speak a word, I am willing to obey the word first. Verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That's after saying, do you believe that the Father's in me and I'm in the Father? If you believe that, then the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do because I go to my Father. So we've got this pyramid effect. We follow someone that goes straight to the Father. We believe in one that goes straight to the Father. Therefore, greater works than Jesus himself will be done. Oh, y'all didn't get that. The whole idea of going to the Father, for us going to the Father, is so that greater works can be done. Not so that I can put my fingers up here on my lapel and say, boy, I do good works. So I do good works. So what? Ever since Jesus came to this earth and walked, the goal of mankind has been to teach Jesus instead of be like Jesus. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't own the whole world. They're too busy teaching Jesus. We need to stop talking about Him and start trying to be like Him. He just assumed you never mentioned His name again if you just live like He lives. Because He didn't like His name anyway. He liked the Father's name. That's why He always pointed that direction. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Father may be glorified in that life. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, let's don't put that one on there. I think I said to Amanda or Jonathan last night at the party, oh, that's, you mean you never lie? Well, I wouldn't say that. Well, you mean you wouldn't say that? The Father said never lie. Well, but you don't understand, I may lose my job. Lose it! The Bible gives you great instructive criticism when it says, better that you lose your job than your life.
Right.
Don't be afraid of the one that can take your job away. Be afraid of the one that will take your eternal life away.
Right.
It tickles me that when you talk to people, and I can go back for 10 years and I can pull names out of people that are just in all kind of serious doo-doo. And they're blaming the church instead of their doo-doo. And what you'll do is you'll look back and you'll look at their life by their own confession. They'll tell you the commandments they've been breaking. Larry never could understand why he had trouble with people. But he openly told me that one time that I took that $20 bill and I stuffed it in that guy's mouth. Oh yeah, that's the commandment. Do unto others as you want them do to you. If somebody had done that to him, he'd have pulled a gun and killed him. But he can't figure out why. He has no wisdom, and he has no knowledge, and he has no understanding. Because he breaks the commandments. By the way, you don't need any other commandment than one I just talked to you about. You want to prove you love God? You treat others the way you want to be treated. It takes God to make you do that. You don't have to worry about stealing, lying, killing, or nothing else if you'll just treat other people the way you want to be treated. You know how treating other people the way you want to be treated really works it out? You won't blame them for your problems either. Dumb liar! I love God with all my heart, and all of my problems are your fault. It's not God. Listen to me. It's not God. Don't you listen to it. Separate yourself from that kind of nonsense before some of that gets on you. I heard yesterday on the news, there's a new strain of HIV. Y'all hear that? A new strain, a more powerful strain, a totally resistant strain. Doesn't take 10 years to show up. It takes 10 minutes. And there's nothing nothing will treat it. Why? Because God will not be denied. His word will not be denied. Homosexuality to men, here's your warning. You will have a disease in your body for doing it. And no doctor will ever take you away from the law of God. Don't break the commandments, or the commandments will break you. Anything you can do about it? Yes, you can be dumb and have them hit you over the head. You can be smart, and they will produce for you. See, this is the good part. If you're really smart, God's commandments will produce for you. It'll produce in you life and that more abundance. It'll produce for you spouse, children, future, finances that the world cannot provide. That there's an ability that you can't even, you don't have the ability to do what God can do for you. The only way to wisdom is yes. The only way you're ever going to be smart is to be a yes person. Well, I thought you had to think. No, refrain from thinking. It hurts your brains. Don't think. Don't think. Let me tell you something. You want to be a great thinker? You just say yes to God and watch Him expand your mind. You'll be the greatest thinker there is if you just won't think. Well, what do you mean by that? God will put some of His pearls of wisdom into your mind that make you go, oh. And it gives you you can spend the rest of your life thinking about a couple of things that He says. And if you repeat them to anybody, they go, oh. The only way to wisdom is to say yes to Jesus. The sure way to miss the mark, That's called sin. That's the definition of sin, is miss the mark. The sure way to sin, or to miss the mark, to make all the mistakes available to mankind, to look and to be really, really dumb. And how many of you want to look dumb? I don't know anybody who wants to look dumb. The sure way to look dumb is to ignore the commands of God. One of the things that became so violently and vibrantly at the same time real this last week was to hear the dumbness pour out of a man or a woman from disobedience. Guys, listen to me. The world will always try to convince you of how dumb you are. That's the world's job. The devil wants you to disobey one command of God, so you begin to look dumb, and you believe you're dumb. Then you'll believe you're not healed, and you're not smart, and you're not worthy. You'll start to believe all that little bitty stuff that will tear you apart. And nobody takes all that unto themselves, so the next thing is you start blaming somebody else for your dumbness, which boils right down to disobedience. The dumbness is disobedience. It's not a thwarted mind. We all are born with the same number of brain cells, the same opportunity. The only way a man excels of one man or woman above the other is how much they seek God, how much they believe God, how much they operate on His Word. If right is a person, then yes to that person is right for me. If right is a person, and he is, then yes to all that that person has for me is right. You know what the world, what this United States has taught every one of you? Don't just accept, challenge. But challenge authority. I've seen bumper stickers. Challenge authority. Challenge knowledge. Challenge understanding. Oh, yeah. Well, I would do that if I were you when it points to the world. But once we find out that there's only one source from knowledge and understanding and righteousness, then don't you challenge anything. You don't even have the ability to bring up the first word in an argument with God. The first word you speak in an argument with God is, I'm stupid. But you just don't hear it that way. But that's what you say. I see some frowns, and I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. Your job is not to understand. Your job is to obey. You got a 19-star general telling you what to do, and you want to ask him questions. You want to say, but God, I asked you to take this pain away, and you didn't do it, so I have to go to another source. Nobody says it that way, but that's the acting out. You don't need another answer. You don't need another question. You just need to obey the ones that you got right now. Yes, sir. I saw a little blip from a movie this morning even. Loved it. The general said, nobody shoot. Soldier in the back thought he had a shot, so he took a shot, and the general turned around and shot his own man. Guess what? The rest of the men are not going to shoot. I wish we had such obvious teachings in our lives. We do, we just don't want to see them. We think we have the right to vote on God's Word. It never ceases to amaze me that we think we have the right to vote on a word from God. Well, you see, I can think about it and see how it applies to my life. No, you can't. When you just say yes, when you sign yes, there's nothing you have to say anymore. And when we get into that position, then when we lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. We lay hands on our sick finances, they're going to recover. When we lay hands on our sick brain, it's going to recover. If we truly want to help others, our help must come from God, not our wisdom. Have I numbed your brain with all of this? You're not going to respond to me anymore? The whole goal in life is should be able to help others. And if we want that, and we do, then our help must come from God. Or their help must come through me from God. To obtain and maintain righteousness, correctness, wisdom, sureness in our lives. And for others, we must continually say yes to God and no to all else. While I was on this conversation, something rose up in me. I can't describe it to you. It was God, but I still can't describe it to you. It was a feeling of surety. See, when you're talking with God, even if you're talking on the phone with somebody else, if you're in communication with God, one of the things that's going to come out of you is surety. And I said, you should thank your God for standing in the presence of this conversation. I'll not take ridicule or criticism from you. I've stood, the person told me, you and Connie need to look in the mirror. I said the other day, that's exactly what we did. We looked in each other's, the mirror, and we stand innocent. We have done no man or woman wrong, and I'll not have any man or woman tell me that I have. A surety that comes from relationship with God. I have no apologies for any man. Would I wish I could have done some things different? I wish I'd have listened to God more correctly. I would have done them different. But in the meantime, I'm here, I'm not there, and I'm telling you I stand pure and holy in front of God. And you'll not tell me anything different. I'll not receive it, and I'll not even let it come out of your mouth. How would you guys like to argue with me? See, most of you never even argued with me. I warn you, don't get in that position. Because if your position is to blame me, God is going to say, I'm on his side, and you're going to lose. That's surety. I like it. God's good. The minute we begin to resist, the minute we begin to argue or question, listen to this one. The minute we begin to ignore, we begin to be very dumb, very selfish, and very wrong tracking. Do you know that God says that the very elite can be deceived? Most of the people that think they're the very elite, they're the only very elite in their eyes, they're already deceived. What I'm telling you is this. If we become self-reliant instead of God-reliant, we'll never know when we get off the track. That became very obvious in the conversation this week. You are off track and you don't even know it. Your blame, your all this stuff that you're saying makes absolutely no righteous sense. And you challenge it, and there's nothing they can say, and yet they're still right. So what do? You hang up the phone and say, Lord, I turn their flesh over to Satan so they won't be lost in the last days. And don't be guilty about it. Don't be guilty about it. Jonathan, we were told that Jonathan likes to kind of ignore and sleep in once in a while. My wife said, oh, Jonathan, you don't want to be laying in there if Stan gets ready for you to get up. I've got a reputation. God has a reputation. He won't be mocked. God says, get up. He wants you to get up. And you might not like those pointy-toed boots that he wears, those cockroach killers, when he decides to boot you out of that bed. Now, I'm just being facetious about the bed. I'm just saying whatever situation it is. God can be your friend or he cannot be your friend. He doesn't have to be your enemy. See, there's nobody in here that even is even worthy of God being an enemy. You've never met anybody that's worthy of God being their enemy. He just doesn't be your friend and everything goes wrong with you. When we take time, by the way, our job is not research. Our job is obedience. Listen to me. Our job is not research. Our job is obedience. You can't research God. He researches you. Shows where you turn up short and then talks to you about it. You don't need to research. The research has been done. When we take out time to question, study, check with others, you know, listen to me. I'm going to confide into you. If God says something to me, I'm not coming to you to check it out. You are not worthy. Did you hear what I said? You can look at that and say it to me too. It's all right. You're not worthy. If God says something to me, and I'm saying this with great joy, if God says something to me, I'm not checking with you to see if it's okay. Does that mean that God can't use you to confirm? Absolutely not. He probably will. He will use some other person. Let everything be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. He can use other people in other situations to confirm His Word with signs following. That's fine. But I'm not going to question. What do you think, Harry? God told me that I need to take a bath twice a day instead of once. What do you think? Well, if Harry's in the bath once a day, he's going to agree with once a day is okay. But if he takes a bath three times a day, then he's going to try to convince me that three baths a day is the only way to live. I don't want his information. I want God's information. It's what will work with me. When we take time to question, study, check with others, see if it agrees with what I hear and feel. One of the statements I heard this week, it just doesn't witness in my heart. I said, your heart's desperately wicked, the Bible says. Okay, we went into another area. I don't care about your opinion. And I definitely don't care about your feelings. Try that in your ministry and see what happens. I don't care what you feel, and I don't care what you think. This is what God said. You know why you can't do it? Because you don't do it to you. You don't take you out back and say, listen here, young man or woman, I don't care what you think, and I don't care what you feel. This is what God says, and so you're going to feel that. The minute we take time to question, study, check with others, see if it agrees what I hear or feel, then we lose sight of what is real and true. We begin to listen to our wicked heart and mind, and lies become truth. Now, I'll tell you what, and I won't go recent, I'll go back again. When we were over in that church and Larry decides to start shoving me around, and he called me a legalistic bastard. Anybody that knows me, you got the wrong guy. You call him legalistic. You've met my mom and dad. You're an idiot if you say I'm a bastard. I got proof. You just called me. You just showed me that you're the dumbest person on the face of the earth. That's what you showed me. You did it right in the church, right in front of God. Legalistic. Yeah. Legalistic. I spent half my life fighting against legal things. You know what that gave me the right to do? You may not like this, but it gave me the right to stand up and shove him. Boom! Get back. But I was smart enough to take my glasses off first to let him know that I was serious. Then I can get his belly off of my chest. What gives you the right to do that? Because he lied about me in front of God. Now he's got God and I to fight. You know what happened? For those of you that weren't there, his own son jumped in and tackled him. He'd proven himself to be such a dope that his own son jumped in and fought him all the way out the back of the church and hauled him off. I didn't have to do any more. God will fight your battles for you. If you're man enough or woman enough, stand up and at least push! Would I have fought in a New York second, guys? I laid the glasses down. That was my decision. I knew what the next thing was going to happen. Because you insulted me, my God, the church, my parents, everything else around me. We're through talking. One of us is going to strut. This is another thing that I had to deal with. Sensualism. When you stop listening to the truth, your senses take over. When you listen to the truth, your senses will never rule you. You don't care what it smells like, tastes like, feels like. You don't care what you want. You don't care what your neighbor wants. The truth will set you and them free from all of that. But the minute you begin to turn your back on the truth, the next thing, listen, here's your judge. Here's what you go by. When all people do is talk about how they feel, the pain they've had, and what they want, and this person over here did that, and this, you're talking about sensualism. It's an evil, evil religion. That becomes truth to people. I know people that won't go to church because they didn't get goosebumps. They got to go to another church when they find some more goosebumps. Oh, the Spirit was alive and real in that church. Oh yeah, how'd it change you? How did the Holy Spirit, which is a guaranteed change, change you this morning in that sensual church? What did He show you were doing wrong so you could go out and work for the change? Oh, God doesn't work that way. He loves me. This is a statement I got. He woos me. He woos me just where I'm at. You know, I don't mean to be rude, but if I am required to woo this woman, I will never do it. Are you hearing me? First time she preaches to me the Valentine's Day's law, and I got to do this and such to prove my love, I'm going to say I'm going to prove to you different. I'm not going to spend my life wooing what I already own. If I do it, it's because I want to, not because I have to. This person's telling me that God's job is to woo them. Why? You ain't worth it. He spent, I know, 10, 15 years doing that already, and he ain't getting nothing but disobedience and betrayal. How much more time is he going to do this? Sensualism becomes truth. Truth becomes hidden by emotions. We become lost and without hope, and Satan has his way. If we accept God's way and His words as the way. Now listen, when do you do that? Here's the key that I started off with that I won't hit you again. You cannot decide while God is speaking if it's right or wrong. You have to make your decision now that whatever God says is right, no matter where I like it or not. And you have to live by that every day of your life. Our sensualism is going to come in and you're going to be going because of goosebumps. Goosebumps turn into pimples and they need to be squeezed. Did you ever notice that you're the most out of control when you got goosebumps? Your temperature of your body's out of control. Your feelings are out of control. Your vision's out of control. Your hearing's out of control. The quicker you can get over a goosebump, the better off you are. Women, if you love goosebumps, one day your husband's going to quit having them. Whatever gave him goosebumps before is not going to be there. You better depend on truth and love. You laughed at me that time that I said, if your wife's asking, does this make me look fat? You just tell them, I'd rather see you naked. Stay out of this area where sensualism and that, you know what they're asking you? Pet me, please. Pet me, please. Well, give them the biggest pet. I'd rather see you naked. Let them get over that. That's hardcore truth. It should be. If my wife's going to require me to compliment her before we get happy, we ain't going to get happy. We're not going to be happy. And if you serve a God that has to compliment you and woo you before He can speak to you, He's probably not speaking to you and hasn't for a long time. God wants to be able to walk into your bedroom in the middle of the night, walk into your kitchen in the middle of the day, walk into your office wherever you are, and He wants to be able to say, hey, friend, got something to tell you. And you go, you stop and you freeze and you stop listening to anything else. Why? Because your decision's already made. You know what voice you want to hear. And you know you want to obey that voice, the Bible says. You want to obey that voice. You don't make a decision when the voice is speaking. You make it before the voice is spoken. I don't know if you looked at my refrigerator yesterday, but right in the middle of that refrigerator there's a big sign that says, yes, Lord. It's been there for quite a while because God didn't speak to me this just this morning. He talked to me about questioning and listening and studying and all that stuff. You know what, God, I give up. Yes. Well, I haven't said anything yet. The answer is still yes. Well, I may not speak to you for a while. The answer is still yes. Well, I may tell you to go eat a worm. The answer is yes. This is supposed to be short. If we accept God's ways and His Word as the way, we already acknowledge that the answer is yes. Then He allows us to research. Then He allows us to understand. He causes us to be wise beyond our ability. All of our feelings and emotions will be molded into His likeness and image. Our emotions are wrong. Are our emotions wrong? No, if they're in His likeness and image. God gets turned on, and He gets angry. If you can just act like Him, then you can get turned on and angry. It's fine. In fact, I highly recommend it. But you got to act like Him. And the decision has to be made now. I'm going to do it His way no matter what. All of our feelings and emotions will be molded into His likeness and image with the answer yes. Here's a little key word to you. Hesitation means separation. Hesitation means separation from truth and from life. It's not just a matter of one of these days I'll get around and obey you. Hesitation means separation. Breaking or bending. Y'all like that word when people bend God's commandments? I've heard it so many times. Breaking or bending God's commandments. Even one of them. Separates us from wisdom.
That's right.
It makes us dumb without direction. We become distant from the truth, believing we know the truth. We become distant from the truth, believing we know the truth. The door is now open for the enemy to feed us what we want to hear and cloak it as truth. Exactly what I dealt with this is last week. Having to listen to lies from Satan cloaked in the title of truth. I got over it. I stopped listening to it. I started doing the preaching. They want to listen. They can. They won't. They don't. They hang up. Patrick helped me one time. He forced me into it, made me mad, but he still helped me. Out in the middle of that street one time, I'm trying to catch, he's taken off in a lie, into emotion, into chemical things, into all kinds, but he was not operating in truth. And I'm trying to chase him down the street, talk to him, and I got mad. And I yelled and stomped my feet and said, Patrick, I'm not called to follow you, you're called to follow me. And I'm going, who said that? I never said that to anybody in my life. He stopped. I don't know if you remember that, Patrick. You froze in your tracks right there in the middle of the street and sit down in the middle of the street. So sit down with him. Get what the neighbors think. This is God spoke. I knew that, and he did too. We both were surprised at it. He responded correctly. I responded correctly. Guess what's going to happen? God's going to move on the situation. And he's going to put life in both of us because of that, not just one of us. I say some things that floor me sometimes. That was one of the bigger ones, I can tell you that. The only gauge for truth and right is God and His way. Yes to Him means we are righteous. Yes to Him means we are holy, and yes to Him means we are successful and healed. Even when you don't feel like it. You hear me? This is God's word I'm telling you. You just be righteous and you be holy because you say yes to God over and over and over and over and over and over, and over everything. And then you call yourself wise no matter what anybody tells you. Your opinion, their opinion, or feelings, they don't matter. It is above vote or recourse. Do you know that our life can get above vote? If I'm voting yes for God, He is automatically voting yes for me. And no weapon formed against me can prosper. It's without recourse. There's nobody that can penalize me for saying yes to God. His way is right. Yes is right. Yes is holy. Yes is truth. Yes is helpful. Yes is safe and sure. Yes is wisdom. And yes is eternal life. for us and others. I just read you scriptures to prove all of those things. Yes, causes to be what God wants for us. Yes, causes what God wants for us to happen. Yes, causes us to reach our potential. Not that we've set, but that God has set. Yes, helps others. And yes, helps you. Yes, causes you to be smart. Argument causes you to be dumb. Yes, is to be righteous and holy. It is so simple. See, you know what I battle with in this message? It's way too simple. All it is yes before the question's even asked. Yes, Lord. I have no questions. I just want to do it. When God says it, I'm not even going to say, "What'd you say? You've never said that to me before." I remember unpracticed in this. The time when I reach for that door to walk out and God says, "Anybody leaves that church, they don't have your fingerprints on them. You didn't pay nothing." And as I'm reeling from the honest to God truth, I never said, "What did you say?" I'm just frozen in my tracks saying, "Okay." The second thing, see, here's another thing God does. If he ever gets you stopped to listen, he may say something. He may say another thing. He, right on top of that, he said, "And it's my word, you'll use it when I say so." Ooh. Ooh. So I finally got a word in edgewise, and I said, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Nothing." Now I just had the hardest assignment he ever gave me was to do nothing. Never had a harder word spoken to me in my entire life for God to say, "Nothing, don't you do anything." But I'd already said yes before he even spoke the word. That's our fault. That's our fallacy. That's where we're failing. We have not yet answered God before he's asked. We're waiting for the question to answer. Nope, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. For you to wait for the answer means you don't, wait to answer means you don't trust God. Then God will test you. I remember going to the hot tub, headed to the hot tub this morning. God was speaking to me. He said, "What if I tell you to live here?" That's no test. I'm already here. Okay, the answer is yes. What if I tell you to live west? Yes. What if it's east? Yeah. What if I tell you to move back to the far? Back to the farm in South Texas. And all of a sudden I hit a high center. Yes wasn't quite so easy. See, I haven't practiced it enough. In my hesitation, I said, "Yes, it doesn't make any difference." When your body hesitates, you scream yes. You go ahead and fulfill. You finish what God's asking you to do, which is just answering yes. And if you don't answer right, you may end up back on the farm in South Texas. In other words, you're going to start over. We'll go right back to the starting point and see if I can get you to say yes quick enough. Why? Because the kingdom is about him. You hear me? But the only way it can be about him is yes to him. And if he's got to take you back to the beginning, you go back to the beginning. And everybody says yes?
Yes.
Before the question's asked, right? The simple answer to success, to wisdom, to power, to authority. Answer the question now. Don't wait till the question comes. Yes. If your body is lying to you and telling you you're not getting ministered to, say, I am. Because I said yes to God. It's up to him. The work is not up to me. The work is up to him. Amen. Well, how come you've allowed me to sit here and hurt all this whole year? It's all in your head. It's all in your head. You're not hurting. You just think you are. Let me show you somebody that's hurting. See, if your answer is already yes, that's what God will do to you. He'll show you somebody else hurting more than you so you get your mind off of you. And in the process of you ministering to them, you'll be healed. Sometimes he catches you at your brokest point and asks you to give some money to somebody. Come on, has that not happened? He's not going to say, I tell you what, you give him $100, I promise to give you $5. He won't say that. He's just going to say, reach in your pocket and give him $100. You're going to go, oh, it's my last $100. Hey, dummy, you don't think I know? He doesn't say it that way. That's what you ought to be saying to you. When you try to inform God about his decisions, you're playing the fool. He already knows. He's considered and evaluated, and he knows what's best for you. That's why it's so easy to say yes now, not wait. It's kind of like yes to salvation. If you wait to the last trump, it's too late. Same thing with successful yes. The successful yes that needs to come out of your mouth, it needs to happen now, not right before you die. You can't help anybody on that day. This was one of the shortest printed messages I've ever done. Y'all took too long in praise and worship. This is serious stuff to me that I'm talking to you about. I don't know if it took a foolish telephone conversation to prove to me, but I can at least say, except for the grace of God, there go I. God has been really good to me and given me opportunities to make mistakes, and opportunities to resist, and opportunities to argue. Are you hearing me? And didn't turn into foolishness. Just turned into a small delay. I don't want to press that issue. Someone knock your tooth out? Oh, okay. I don't want to press the issue. I want God to press the issue. You hear me? I've sat here now and I've preached to you about how we're supposed to say yes no matter what. Do you think I'm going to get by without the test? Then all I got to do is expect the test. The trouble is, you heard the message too. You heard the message too. And God is faithful. See, here's what you can look forward to. God is faithful. To what? To prove His Word. Not to destroy you with the Word, but to prove His Word to you. He doesn't need His Word proven. I don't need a Word to you proven. You need it proven. Now you need a test. God needs to ask you about some things, tell you some things that you're just not quite ready to listen to yet, so that you'll get ready. Now that's stretch. By the way, a word to my wife. You want a better husband? You give him more praise. And you get more excited about him when he walks in the room. Right. You act like you're excited when he's around. You'll get more praise too. Yeah. Practice what you preach, woman. That's a slap on her. You want me to be bored? You be bored with me and see what happens. You want some excitement in there? You be excited and see what happens. The reason I can say that openly is because that's the way God is. You want some excitement in your life with God? You get to praising Him. You get excited about Him. You start saying yes before you ask the question and see if He don't come up with some bigger stuff between you and Him. How big? As big as you can handle. As big as you can handle. They're all excited about what God's doing in their lives right now, and I'm excited with them. It isn't nothing. It isn't nothing. It's nothing. How do you know that? Well, I just tell you that God's bigger than what's happening today. We always say that about bad things. It's bigger than the good things that are happening today. I don't care what your last sale was, your last success, your last excitement. God's got a bigger one if you can say yes before He asks you, before it's presented to you. And I feel sorry. I really, really hurt for those that turn God off right about the time of success. I feel sorry for them. Because they only will suffer. The church of Jesus Christ is not going to be hurt because somebody else decides to disobey. Now, when this message is heard by these people, it'll still be my fault. I will still not understand. I know that they had to go seek counsel elsewhere. I'm telling you, they're going to find it, they're going to believe it, and it's going to come near destroying them before they're restored. That's what makes me sad. I'm not saying destruction. I'm saying before restoration. Do you have enough confidence in your ministry to say that about your ministry? Whatever your ministry is, do you have enough confidence standing before God the Father to stand righteous before Him with innocent hands? See, one of the things that God has done for me in the last couple of months, watching this kind of stuff happen, is He set me free. Because I was, maybe it took this for me to stand before Him and say, God, is it me? And when God says it ain't you, it's not you. I don't care who's blaming you. When God says it's not you, it's not you. You can get a smile on your face and say, it ain't me, it's you. Because that's the other side of this. There's two people there, and one's blaming the other, and God says it's not one of you. Then it is the other one. It's that simple. It's not up to you to do the punishment. It's up to you to do the releasing and say, okay, I'll obey your word. I'll obey your word. I don't care if I want to. How many of you know when a baby poops his diaper, your natural instinct is first to run one out of the room, and second is I got to get that diaper changed? That's the way it is with serving God. Run away or I got to go do it myself. When there comes a stage in life where you let that brat suffer in its own poop so it won't poop anymore. That's an order from God. Only one thing going to cause a kid from poop quit stop pooping his own britches is he got to sit in his own poop for a while. Come on. It's in us to want to be clean, not dirty. Even in the little kids. Trouble is, it's not in parents enough to enforce it. I saw a mama carrying this big old kid with a thumb like that. Oh, God, give me grace. Give me grace, because I know how to stop that in a New York second. My daughter was honoring in that area. She went, I just went over and boom, I started punching her in the chin. Not hard, but when those little teeth start coming down on that little thumb, there's going to be a decision made. It don't take hot pepper. I don't have to buy chemicals. Just have to do like that. And pretty soon there was no more of this. God's a better parent than I am. When He slaps you on the chin because you're sucking your own thumb, it's okay. It's okay. When a word from the man of God comes and it steps on your toes, it's okay. It's okay. You can say yes too. Because I'm a man of God in my house too, not just here. Come on. Women, you can say amen, even if it's you don't totally believe it yet. You got to agree with God. The answer is yes before it happens, right? Yep. All right, y'all stand with me. Be quick, say yes. Yes. What am I going to say next? Just say yes. Yes. Oh, that wasn't quite as loud. Your trust is not there yet. God's going to have to test you a little more. Let me tell you something. Let me make a promise to you that I know. God will never hurt you. You can hurt you by not saying yes, but God will never hurt you. In any of His questions, in any of His challenges, in any of His questions and tests, He will never hurt you. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. He'll never put you in a place to be hurt. That phone call came in. I said, oh, God, why one more? Can't we just do without the phone calls? If a person's going to be a duck, let them be a quiet one. A goose, let them be a quiet one. Why do they need to talk to me about it? Well, see, after the conversation was over, I felt better than when the call came in. Because God was speaking to me in the process. I'm encouraged. I'm not saddened. I'm encouraged. And to those people that are, if you hear this tape, I'm sorry that you don't like it, that I'm encouraged, but God encouraged me in this. If I'd have been found wanting in the test, then I'd have been dealing with that. I'd have been Heart's clear? I didn't hear the yes. Everybody's starting to say yes to God before he asks. Y'all need to go home and preach that to your children. Preach it to your friends. Get the tape, get the CD, and listen to it, and make them listen to it. Invite them over for a crunch party. And don't do abs. Don't work on your abs. Work on your spirituality. Say, I got a message I hate. You want to listen? Praise the Lord. In all things, give thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for this word this morning. I acknowledge it's from you. I know it's from you because the way it came out. I feel it. I listen, and yes is my answer no matter what. Put it on the heart of your people that yes is the answer today, yesterday, and forever. Doesn't make any difference what comes the way. The answer is yes. It doesn't mean we're a bunch of dopes that we just accept everything comes down the pike. But we, the Bible says that sheep know that shepherd's voice. We know when it's you. Deep down here, we know when it's you, and we know when it's us. Yes to you and no to us. That's where we stand now in Jesus' name. We call those things that aren't as if they already are. We acknowledge now we're closer to you than when we walked in that door this morning. Our future is brighter because of this message. But not because it sounds good or it makes us feel good. It's because we say yes and amen. We love you, Lord. For those that need healing, we speak that on them right now. Receive it into this body, into our bodies now, because it is a gift from you. So we, because you want it, we say yes to you for the healing. We speak of our finances, they're healed. We speak of our the authority over our household in all aspects. Because we say yes to you now, it's under your control. When it's in your control, it is totally successful. We love you, Lord. We thank you in all things. We thank you in all things, Lord. Use us not just to be comfortable in our newfound authority and power, but we use that newfound authority and power in yes to create others that say yes to you. We love you, Lord. Yes means have your own way. In me, through me. We receive that into ourselves now. We receive it with thanksgiving and faith. And everybody that agrees says yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Be dismissed.